Turn with me this morning to Daniel chapter 6. Continuing to make our way through the book of Daniel. We've seen some exciting things. We've experienced some exciting things as we've journeyed through Daniel thus far. We have a few more chapters left before we get started with Galatians. But this morning we'll find ourselves in Daniel chapter 6. And I want you to find verse 14 through 17 is what we'll focus on when we stand at the reading of God's Word this morning. But the lion is one of the most ferocious beasts in the jungle. A lion is, male lion grows to be about 500 pounds, about 10 feet long. With one swipe of a paw, a lion can take a 150-pound gazelle to the ground. With one swipe of the paw. With their roar, it's so loud that it becomes paralyzing to its prey many, many times. As a matter of fact, to the point that when the lion roars, that's what frightens its prey immobile so many times so that the lion can pounce. And then the lion can take 150 pounds. I don't know if you're aware of this. I've been doing some research and on the animal planet and some things like that. But then the lion can take a 150-pound gazelle and can leap over a 3-foot fence with the gazelle in its mouth. Wow, that's power, isn't it? And this morning, we're going to talk about that. You think about those lions in the den, but I want you to know there's also some cowardly lions out there. How many of you remember watching The Wizard of Oz so vividly? Isn't it fun to watch The Wizard of Oz? And then we get to thinking about how they follow the yellow brick road all the way to The Wizard of Oz mansion so that they could get what they wanted. And the lion, the cowardly lion, was there in the group with Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow, and they were making their way, and the lion had lost its courage. And so the lion's greatest desire was that the Oz was going to give the lion his courage back so that he could be that ferocious beast once again. We're going to look this morning. I want you to know that there are still some of those cowardly lions out there. And a lot of times you misread who they are. But it all stems from who the devil is. And the devil really is the ultimately cowardly lion. And I want to tell you, as we begin to talk this morning, you're going to see some things maybe at some particular point that will make you realize that he really is still on the prowl and that he really does still want to destroy your life, but also that he has no power over you. Praise God. So this morning I want to ask, as we look into Daniel chapter 6, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of his word. This morning, as you learn how to face your lions. Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king, and they said to the king, "Now, O king, that is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed." So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not change. Father in heaven, this morning, in the name of Jesus, we approach your throne of grace asking that you would speak to our hearts now. Father, I know that many times we face lions. Many times there are destructive forces that are at work against us. And many times we don't feel like we have the strength to conquer those lions. We don't have the strength to close the lions' mouths and to keep them closed. But Lord, we know that we don't gather our strength from ourselves. It's from within, but it's based on your spirit living within us. And so I pray this morning, as we begin to study through Daniel chapter 6, that you would begin even now to lay on our hearts concerning these lions that we face, that we don't have to face them alone. And really that They're just cowardly lions before us. Because with you living in us, we are the lion tamer. Father, I pray today that we'll be able to tame some of those lions that we face every day. Some of those lions that Satan unleashes upon us. Father, we ask these things today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give me another drink of this. Turn your bulletins over this morning. You'll be able to follow along. You'll be able to fill in the blank. But there are three things really that I want to share with you. And each one of those points that we're going to talk about has some sub-points underneath them. The first thing that I want to submit to you this morning, things that we can learn from Daniel. Old Daniel. He's been faithful thus far, hasn't he? As we've journeyed with him and we've experienced many wonderful stories. And these stories really capture our attention because they're so vivid in our minds when we're able to read them in the context of a story that has really happened. This is history. This isn't fabrication. This is something that's happened. And as we begin to look this morning, we're going to see that Satan doesn't even have any control in the lion's den. But that God is all powerful. And this morning, I want you to understand some of the things that we learned from Daniel is, number one, that purity should be your goal. Purity should be your goal. The Persians, I know you remember the story about Daniel, but he was captured, Babylonians. Now he's about 80 years old. He's in his 80s somewhere. He'd experienced three different changes of kingship during the time that he has been in the Babylonian province now. At this point, he's experienced one miracle after another. The reason is because he has remained faithful to the one true God. He's humbled himself in the presence of God. He had decided that he was going to be upright in the sight of God, that he was going to honor God first with every area of his life. He didn't have to wonder or worry what was going to become of him because he had decided that it didn't matter because God was going to be first. God first. And when God is first in our lives, I want to tell you, there's absolutely no mountain that we can't climb. There is no lion that we can't tame. And I think that we're going to be able to see that this morning through the Word of God. But in every instance of your life, I want you to know that purity should be your goal. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, purity should be your goal. That means that your heart should be set on the things of God, just like Daniel's heart was set on the things of God. His greatest desire was to honor God and God alone. You remember last week as we concluded the message that the king had seen the handwriting on the wall. He had honored Daniel and he had dressed him in purple. And then that night, the king's life was required of him. And then you remember, we was talking about the lights going off. The lights really went off. Talking about partying hard. We were talking about living it up. We were talking about exercising our freedoms to live any way we want to. And we're doing that and we're living it up. And then all of a sudden, we talked about the lights going off. And then God caused the lights to go off. I'm going to tell you, that wasn't planned. God did that, and God is the only one that can do that in time the way that happened last week. We thought maybe we'd lost some compressors or something with a unit, and none of that has happened. It was just God. And we praise God because we see that God really is on his throne, and he desires to get our attention, and he's trying to get our attention this morning as we continue to look at Daniel, and we find him in a lion's den. As King Belshazzar last week, he dies. What happens is you remember the handwriting on the wall that at that point the kings of Persia come in and they take control. Persia and the Medes. And so Darius now, he becomes the king of Babylon. He had heard all the stories. You have to understand that. You're going to see that through the scripture that Darius really didn't want Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den. He did everything that he could to try and keep that from happening. But when the king of the Medes and the Persians had made a rule and they had stamped it, that rule couldn't be changed. It was set in stone. It was ironclad. There was nothing that could be done about it. At that point, not even from the king, he couldn't change his mind. And no one was to pray to any god except the God of the Medes and the Persians. And these men, these Persian leaders, they were jealous of Daniel, and they wanted to desecrate him. They wanted to destroy him. They had heard of his reputation. They understood that he was flawless and upright in his stance, and that he was a man that the kings really respected. All of these years that he has been in Babylon, the kings respected him one after another. They had blessed him, and even for Darius, he was one of the third governor in leadership. And then there were 120 satraps that had been set up, or other governors that were underneath these three main governors. And these lower Persian satraps, the 120, some of them had decided that they didn't think that Daniel should be ruler anymore. They didn't think Daniel should be a leader. And they knew that Daniel was a man of integrity. And so they wanted to see that he was destroyed. As you look, what you see is that he had an excellent spirit about him. And that excellent spirit was, to the Medes and the Persians, a surprising spirit. Because they really wanted to see that at the cost of his life, would he continue to be faithful to the one true God. And he was faithful. He remained pure in his heart. And I want to tell you a couple of things quickly about your attitude as we learn to be pure in our heart and upright in our stance when we face any obstacle in life. And that's the first thing is this, that you've got to be willing to stay positive. You got to be willing to stay positive. In any instance in life, whatever your age, it doesn't matter if you're young or old or anywhere in between, you've got to be willing to stay positive. That has to be your outlook. You've got to believe, and you've got to know and understand that God is able to see you through any circumstance, that God is able to see you through any instance, any tragedy, any suffering that you will ever be faced with in life. Once, listen to me, I got up about 5 o'clock and I went to spin class at No Excuse about 5:30 that morning. Once. And I was happy. I had a smile on my face. I got there and Robert looked at me and said, "How did you not wake up grouchy this morning?" I said, "I just let her sleep." She wasn't even listening to me. That's good. Thank you, Lord. But wherever you are in life, you have to find a way to stay positive, don't you? It's difficult at times for you to stay positive. When you're facing a certain crisis, you have to be willing to stay positive. When you're going through trials and tribulations, you have to be willing to stay positive. And what it means to stay positive is that you understand that God is bigger than anything you're ever going to face. Always and forever. And your attitude isn't to be fixed on who you are and your abilities, but your attitude is to be fixed on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, knowing that he's already overcome it. And it's that positive attitude, just like Daniel, that helped him see that even though he was going to face the lions, he wasn't worried about it. So he stayed positive. And then as you continue on, you got to think about staying positive. You also have to be a person of integrity. I think we falter so many times of being people of integrity. We're not so many times. Whatever your job, Daniel's job was to rule. And he was going to rule faithfully, and he was going to rule honestly, and he was a man of integrity. What is integrity? You know, here's just a quick definition of integrity. It's honest and trustworthiness, even when nobody's looking. That's what integrity is. It's about you being honest and you being trustworthy, even when no one else was looking. And Daniel was going to be honest and he was going to be trustworthy all the days of his life because he had already seen more than one miracle that the one true God had performed. I'm going to tell you, when you begin to experience those miracles of God, you want to remain a person of high integrity, don't you? You want to be someone that stays faithful to God regardless of the situation. You want to believe that God is able to take you through and carry you on to a better tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you that you can believe that and trust that God is able to do that. There's a story about this man in Chicago. He worked at a hotel, and a family had gotten off of a train. This was many, many years ago. family had gotten off of the train. They'd come into this hotel in Chicago, downtown Chicago. There was a seminar that was taking place of some kind. And come up to the desk, this young man, his name was Robert, who was there. And the gentleman on this side of the counter asked if they had any rooms available and said, "Sir, I'm sorry. There are no rooms available." And this guy said, "Well, we've already been to every other hotel and there are no vacancies anywhere. Do you have anything at all? It doesn't matter if it's just a one bed hotel room or anything. None of that matters. Do you have any place? We'll even stay in the lobby if you'll allow us to do that." And so we just don't have anything available. And so the man and the woman, they turned around and they were walking out the door. And then Robert hollered behind the counter. He said, "Hey," he said, "it's storming outside. It's thundering. It's lightning. And the weather's bad. And I just don't think that I should send you out back into that storm. I'm going to be up here working all night long. Would you be against going down in the basement and taking my room?" He lived in the basement there of the hotel as he managed it. And the family said, "That would be great, just so we could have a place to be out of the weather tonight." And he come back up the next morning. He was just so thankful, so grateful for the opportunity to be able to spend the night in a bed and to sleep through the night without having to be bothered with the storm or running around all night trying to find a place to stay. And this gentleman approaches Robert and he tells him, "Young man," he said, "if I had a hotel, I would want someone like you to operate it." And he said, so be ready, because when I build it, you're going to be its manager." So a couple of years go by, and Robert never hears anything concerning, the man's name is George. His name's not Robert. I'm sorry. But George never hears anything from the gentleman on the other side of the counter that night. And a couple of years go by, and he receives a letter in the mail. And with this letter, there's also a train ticket. And he said, "I have built your hotel. If you would come and operate it, the ticket is there for you to take the train all the way to New York City." And it was the Waldorf Hotel, and Robert Bolt became the first manager of the Waldorf Hotel because of his integrity. Do you think integrity pays off? Do you believe that when you live a life of integrity, that God honors that? Adrian Rogers said, "I'm about down to one word, and it's integrity. Study the word with integrity, pray with integrity, and live with integrity." I think that's who we need to be, is God-fearing men and women, don't you? I believe we need to be men and women of integrity, and Daniel was a man of integrity. And continue to move on, the second thing that I submit to you this morning is we should also, as we're learning from old Daniel, the next thing is that prayer should be our habit. Don't you believe that prayer should be our habit? Prayer should be something that we do on a regular basis. It should be something that we're good at. So many of us think that we don't do it well. But if you're communicating to God, then you're doing it well. You just have to be faithful to do it on a regular basis. So let me ask you, pay attention just for a second as I ask this. I don't want you to holler out loud. I don't want you to raise your hand or anything. But are you talking, communicating with God on a regular basis? Is it something that you do daily? Is it something that you do every other day? Is it something that you do maybe weekly or just whenever the mood strikes you? For Daniel, it was something that he did every single day, but not just every day, but three times a day. Daniel went and he opened the windows in his room to Jerusalem towards the temple, and he bowed down on his knees, prostrate, and he prayed to the God of heaven. He was faithful to do that. He never surrendered to the desires of the Babylonians. He never stopped being faithful. He was always a man of integrity when it came to his faith in the one true God. And he continued to hold on to that all the way up to the lion's den. He was faithful. He honored God. And God honored him. God blessed him. I want to share with you that, look at verse 10 for just a second. It says this: "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that the decree had been signed, he went home," he went in his upper room with his windows open. He wasn't trying to hide. This is the way he had been praying all the years he had lived in Babylon at that point. And he never stopped praying the same way. It said in his upper room with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knee three times that day and he prayed and he gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. Something he was used to doing. It's something that he was faithful and obedient to do as he communicate to God day in and day out. You know, I'm fearful that today, the only time we ever approach the throne room of God is when we are in crisis mode. I'm thinking today that the only time that we ever really cry out to God is when we're in need, one need or another. When there's something going on, when there's something awry in our life, when something is wrong, we'll approach the throne of God. But see, God desires so much more than that from each of us. God desires that we would spend time in His presence not just once a week or even once a day, but the Word of God tells us that you and I need to pray continually, Paul said. And that means that you've got to have a spirit of prayer. It means that you've got to have an attitude of prayer. It means you've got to have a great desire to spend time in the presence of God. That's what prayer is about. It's about humbling your heart, knowing that you're approaching the throne of God. And when you approach the throne of God, you're in the presence of God. Being in the presence of God is something special, isn't it? Because that's where you're able to have your prayers heard. And if you're not praying, they're not being heard. And so just quickly, I want to talk with you some keys to a dynamic prayer life. Just very, very quickly, we're going to move through this and that's a specific place. Daniel would go into his upper room. He had a place of prayer. He was faithful to go there. Paul also tells us that we need to go in our prayer closet. We need to close the door behind us. I've shared with you that for me at home in the morning when I wake up, I get up before everyone else, and a lot of times I'll just sit in the shower with the doors closed, that little old bitty cubicle there, and water just beats down on me, and I'm just crying out to God as the waters flow over me. I want to tell you, sometimes the tears roll and the waters just wash the tears right down the drain. It's a great place to go and spend with the presence of God. As the water comes out of the shower head, I just hear that quiet noise of the shower as it trickles down the drain, and it's pretty awesome for me. But that's not the only place I pray. I want to tell you, when I'm mowing my yard, I love the hum of the engine as I'm driving that lawnmower. And I want to tell you, there's something wonderful about being able to pray on the lawnmower. And I always get everything mowed. I don't know how. It's just a God thing. But when I'm riding my bicycle, I love to ride my bicycle. I love to put my earplugs in, I'm going to tell you, or my headphones in. And when I'm riding my bicycle, I'm able to hear from God. I'm able to talk with God while I'm riding down the road. About 3 weeks ago, I don't know if you're aware, but it was coming down 200, and I was by myself, and I was actually clipped by a car. And you want to talk about some praying. I've not been back down 200 on my bicycle. As a matter of fact, it has two flats now, and I've not gotten those fixed. But that was the scariest I'd ever been. Literally, I want to tell you that my life flashed before my eyes. I pulled over. I went through several different emotional stages. I went through praising God and thanking Him that He spared me and that I wasn't run over by this idiot car that was driving by me. They saw me. I was on a straightaway. And there were other cars that were behind them. They didn't have any trouble getting over in the other lane or scooting over just a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, as I was going through that cycle of emotion, I went from praising God to anger over someone not scooting over far enough to give me some room as I was riding. I was on the white line. If I'd have gotten over any further, then I would have been in the ditch. But I want to tell you, I praise God for that. But then there's really nothing like waking up in the morning and being able to know that I've got that place where I can go and I can spend time in the presence of God. And that's the thing. You've got to be able to have that place. Listen to what Mark chapter 1 verse 35 says. Very, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. It's just about you and God. It's about getting alone with him. Do you have somewhere you can do that? A place where you can be alone with God with no outside distractions. That's what Daniel did. He went up into his upper room and he spent time with God on a regular basis. And then there has to be a regular time. I wake up in the morning. That's when I spend my time in concentrated prayer. And then throughout the day, as I pray continually, as something comes up, an ambulance goes by, or the Lord lays something on my heart, I just pray. I just spend time. But there's that regular time, and it was a set schedule for Daniel. And he would go, and he would cry out to God in the upper room. And it said three times that day in verse 10 that he had gone, as was his custom. And so here's what Psalms 55, verse 17 says. This, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out aloud, and he shall hear my voice. For the Jewish believer, the next day started that evening. I don't know if y'all are aware of that. But for the Jewish, the next day began when the sun had gone down that evening. And that was like prayer time for them that morning. And so the scripture tells us, it says that evening, morning, and noon, I cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. It's that place, it's that moment, those moments where you're able to get alone and spend in the presence of God, and you need to do it regularly. And I don't think that the church is praying regularly. Now, when you bring the church together as a group of people, we spend time in prayer. But I don't even think we do that well. And I don't think it's until we begin to pray regularly, communicating with God, that we're going to be able to be faithful to come together and pray and honor God. And I think that we've got to have our time, our special place, where we can communicate with God and we can know that there are no distractions and God is able to hear my voice. And you're able to hear His. Because prayer is so much more than you talking to God. Sometimes we just got to shut up and listen to what He's got to tell us, don't we? And we're always talking, talking, talking. We've got something to say, we've got something to say, but we never want to listen. And so we've got to have those opportunities. We've got to have those places. We've got to have that time. But then also a devoted posture. This is not something that the Bible tells us that we can, there are many praise ways to pray. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but this way right here is never once in Scripture mentioned. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, never once. Now, what is mentioned is that with uplifted hands we pray to God. What is mentioned that on our knees prostrate we pray to God. What is mentioned is that we spend time regularly talking and communicating to God. It's really not so much about how you pray. It's about the attitude of the heart. But for Daniel, he wanted to humble himself and he wanted to pray. And it says that he knelt down. Watch this, because this is really when you humble yourself prostrate before someone, it's a sign of respect and it's a sign of honor for the king. That's what this was. And Jesus, God the Father, is the King of kings and Lord of lords, right? King of kings and Lord of lords. And we pray, we bow down, we humble ourselves in the presence of God. And what we know is that this is a sign of respect. It's a sign of honor. It's a sign of gratitude. It's saying that I'm surrendering myself to you, the one true God. And I'm going to tell you, if you can get down on your knees before God, then you need to crawl. You need to get down there and you need to say, Lord, here I am. Hear my cry. Hear my plea. Take me as I am. Change me from the inside out. But it's not until we find ourselves in a position of brokenness that God really begins to hear you. Because he wants to know that you've surrendered it all. You need to know that you're willing to surrender it all. Oh, I pray that you are. That's my hope. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul said, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father. Ephesians 3, verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father. And then the fourth thing, just quickly, is constant habit. A constant habit. The very last few words of verse 10 says, as was his custom since early days. He was used to going before the throne of God. It was his custom that he would do it three times a day. And you don't even know about the times that he was walking and experienced certain things in life, decisions that he needed made, that he just walked and he talked with God. How many times did he do that? That's not even mentioned in the Bible. Because I can assure you, if he was faithful to spend time talking with God on his knee, on his knees three times a day, then he spent time in the presence of God just walking by the way. Just gallivanting down the road. Just being able to witness God's creation. Seeing the birds as they fly by. See a flower as it grows from the earth. See a tree as it blossoms all of its fruit. He would praise God. I'm telling you this just, you know that he did that if he talked with God faithfully three times a day. It doesn't have to be something that's written here. You know that he did. And you got to have that constant prayer habit. Samuel Chadwick wrote once, he said this. He said that the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless study, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. That's the devil. That's that cowardly lion. He trembles when we pray. And so you need to understand that you don't draw your strength from yourself. It's not something that is just created in you until God creates it in you. You can't do it on your own without the presence of the Spirit of God dwelling in your hearts. It's about God doing that work in you. And it's such a wonderful thing. And it was Daniel's life. It was characterized by purity. And it was characterized by his presence in the sight of God. And I want to tell you, that should be our goal, I believe, as men and women that love Jesus. And the last thing, I want to do this very, very quickly, is that peace is going to be your gift. Now, here's this 80-year-old man. He's pretty enthusiastic about being able to go into the lion's den. Outwardly, man in his 80s. And at this point, he had already been a witness. He had already seen the miracle, the mighty miracle working power of God. And he wasn't afraid. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't intimidated. He went willingly and faithfully to that lion's den. He didn't have to be bound. He didn't have to be shackled. He walked. I'm telling you, this is my picture. He went willingly to the lion's den because he believed that God was able to see him through. He wasn't worried about those lions clawing at him when he got there. He believed that those animals were going to be muzzled. And I think that so many times in life, we need to notice that all these different pressures as they hit us, sometimes we're more fearful of those and the outcome than we are of trusting God to see us through those. And so quickly, I just want to share with you, there are still lions to face today. Still lions to face today. But can you face those lions faithfully? Do you think you're able to do that? Do you think you're able to be a part of God doing something wonderful in your life, even though you're going to have to face these lions? You've watched the movie Facing the Giants, but what about facing these lions that look like giants in our lives? This is what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Do you know what the devil is doing right now? Even during our message, I believe, he's trying his best to get in your head, and he's coming up to you and he's saying, you don't really believe all that mess, do you? And some of you, he's making you believe that. You don't need to believe all of this mess. But we need to believe God's Word, and we need to believe all of God's Word, and we need to see God's Word for what it is, and that's truth without any mixture of error. So as the devil, he comes up to you right now or any time when you're outside the presence of the fellowship or the body of Christ and he's hitting you and he's wrapped sin up in that beautiful package and he's saying it's not going to hurt. Saying you're not going to bother anyone. All of these things that he tries to manipulate your mind and tell your heart, you need to understand that you know the difference between right and wrong. You need to understand that God's Spirit convicts you, that spiritual smoke detector, when you're about to sin against God Almighty. And you've got to be willing to recognize that. How are you facing your lions today? It's a funny story about a pastor of a small congregation, and I'm going to be closing in just a second, but there's a funny story about this pastor's small congregation. He's preaching one day, and then all of a sudden the devil just comes through the back doors. He's not disguised. He's not doing anything out of the ordinary, but he comes in and he's roaring like the false lion that he is. Rawr! And everybody scatters. The preacher runs off stage, and everybody is just scattering through every door they can find. But one faithful old man is sitting up front all by himself, and he's just praying. And he's praying, and he's praying. The devil walks over there to him. He says, "Don't I frighten you?" Man said, "No, I was married to your sister for 45 years. You've got to recognize that the devil is going to try and frighten you. But know this. You've already experienced so much of it in the past, maybe for 45 years. But you've been a part of some things that Satan wants to try and discourage you. And then he'll bring those things to mind. And what you need to know is when something of your past comes up in your heart and in your mind, you need to know that God's not doing that, that the devil is. Because your sin's already been forgiven you. Your past, that God's not worried about that side of your life. He's worried about this part of it. And so if you have these things continually coming up, then you've got to face those things. Because you know that the devil is the one that's bringing them up in your life, and he's roaring, and he's trying to frighten you and scare you. But when you've already taken it to the cross and you've laid it there, you need to leave it there, because that's exactly what God has done through the blood of Jesus. Second thing quickly as we continue to move on is when you're in the pit, you need to seek the dominant lion. You need to seek the dominant lion. Why do I say that? Because the devil is not the only lion that's roaring out there. I'm telling you that Satan is the cowardly lion. He is. And he only has as much power as you give him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that you can muzzle him. I'm saying that you can keep him down. I'm saying that you can hold him back. You can't do it on your own, but you can do it through the power of the Spirit of God that lives in you. And that's what you've got to be able to do. You got to know that when you're in the pit to seek the dominant lion. Listen to what Revelation chapter 5 says. That then one of the elders said to me, "Don't weep. See? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed." The Lion of the tribe of Judah, this angel that was walking around with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, is the same angel of the angel of the Lord. Is the same angel of the Lord that was walking around with Daniel in the lion's den. And maybe you're in a lion's den right now, and I want you to know that if you will allow him, that the Lion of the tribe of Judah will be there with you. And I'm going to tell you, when he roars, then it should paralyze you. He roared from Calvary's Hill about 2,000 years ago. Are y'all aware of that? And he said, "It is finished." And he meant it was all finished. That death, hell, and the grave had been defeated. That the resurrection had occurred, that it was about to occur. And we live in a world today where we have so much fear in our hearts and in our lives, It's not because we fear God. It's because we fear consequences of things that we've done in our past. And that needs to be over and done with. We don't need to worry about those things because that's where it is. And the devil is going to roar and he's going to try and make you believe that you're condemned to death. But I'm going to tell you that you're not condemned to death through Jesus Christ. That you need to believe, you need to seek the dominant lion who is the lion of the tribe of Judah. You need to seek Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's Jesus. And the last thing is this, that Jesus is still taming those lions today. Amen. Jesus is still taming them. It doesn't matter what they are. For Daniel, he was right in the middle of a real lion's den, and maybe you're faced with some of those obstacles today that have frightened you immobile. So what do you do? Preacher, how do I get over this situation in my life? I shared with you, you got to take it to Jesus. You can't do it on your own. But when you take it to Jesus, see, he's the one that gives you the strength to be able to battle those demons, to be able to battle those pasts, to be able to battle the devil. And he's behind you and he's shooting those fiery darts. And that's when you gather for yourself, the Ephesians chapter 6, you gather for yourselves the armor of God. And so this morning, it's my prayer that you would begin to put on the armor of God, because the adversary is behind you and he's shooting those arrows and he's trying to hit you right where you are. But you don't have to be fearful. You have to be faithful. And so today, it's about you being faithful to God. Will you be faithful to Jesus today? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much for this day and the opportunity that we have to come before your throne. Thank you so much for your word and for the opportunity to see you alive and well in the lives of believers. Every day. Father, I pray that even as the rain falls right now, that we would understand that nothing can hold us back from receiving your blessings. Only the devil, if we allow him to. And Father, I pray today that we would draw our strength and our courage from you, and that we would face those lions every day. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you to stand. I know you're not going to be able to hear. But what lions are you facing today? Maybe you need to come and you need to lay it at the cross. If that's the case, then you do that. Would you come? We're going to have a quick invitation.
Take up thy cross and follow.